Hello, welcome to Who is in the Garden here on Carib Voice Radio. It's time to take a moment to pause, breathe, and refresh with Adeayo. So why don't you take a seat, have a drink before you continue on life's journey. Hello, hello, how are you? How has your week been? What has it been like for you? What's shaking? What's bubbling? You know, it'd be lovely to hear from you and to get to know how it's really, you know, happening with you. What is it like coming up? Christmas is coming up soon. The year is winding down, it's winding up. And I know there's so much pressure, so to speak, but I hope in it all, you are counting your blessings. I definitely am counting my blessings while I am still hopeful for many more things that God is still able to do before the year 2024 finally comes to an end. But, you know, as we hope, as we expect, we remain grateful for all the great things he has done in this year so far. So, at your fingertips, what are the things you are grateful for? What are the things you can look back into 2024 and say, oh, great is thy faithfulness, oh God, my Father. For me, I'm grateful for life. I'm grateful for health. I remember in 2019, my health literally crashed. My blood pressure had spiked. I was having migraines. There were so many things wrong. My knees were hurting. So many things. And down the line, looking at it, I am grateful to God for life. I remember the health officer in my country asking me how I was standing when he saw the readings of my blood pressure and tried and took those readings a couple of times, and he wondered, how on earth are you still standing? And I remember even this year my blood pressure had spiked crazily at some point, and the health officer looked at me and wondered, I don't understand how you're standing. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful for life. I'm grateful for provision. Despite everything, regardless everything, God has been faithful. I was telling a church where I was asked to speak briefly, to minister briefly, and I was telling them that, you know, all the enemy wants to do is change your confession, but if you know who God is, the likelihood they are going to change your confession is almost zero, if not zero. Because if you know who God is, if you understand who God is and you keep your heart and your mind stayed on him, then the outcomes are definitely going to be in your favor. And I hope that you were able to look back at this year and be grateful. I know that if you look, you know, objectively, even if you choose to be biased, but you look back at this year, you will be grateful. You will see things to be grateful and to be thankful and to be hopeful for, based on the character of God. Do you know the character of God? Do you understand the character of God? Because the moment you have a basic understanding of the character and the person of God, the probability that you're going to thank him, the probability that you're going to be grateful, the probability that you're going to be hopeful is definitely going to be a lot higher. And yes, you're going to go through the waters, you're going to go through the flow. Like one of my favorite scriptures of all times, it's Psalm 66 verse 12. You've allowed men to ride over my head. You've taken me to the fire and to the flood, but you have brought me to a wealthy place. I remember that scripture, like my name. And I remember when God gave me that word, I was still, we call it NYC here, the youth copper, and God gave me that word. And have men walked over my heads? You bet they have. Have I gone through fire? Yes. Have I gone through the flood? Oh, definitely. Have I drowned? No. And true to his word, I see and I am hopeful, and I know that indeed he will bring me to that wealthy place. He will bring me to that wealthy place. He will bring me to that wealthy place, regardless of what the devil does, regardless of what life circumstances throw at me. Because I have walked through the fire, because I have walked through the flood, I know, because he has allowed men to walk over my head, I know that indeed he will bring me to a place of abundance. He will bring me to a place where I have sufficiency in all things and I have excess for every good work. See, that's how I take scriptures. That's how I live my life. I live my life as best as I can on the strength of God's word. On the strength of God's word. And that's why I want to remind you or introduce you, as the case may be, to the story of the woman who had an issue, who had a problem for 12 years. Did she give up? No. Did she create her own path? Yes. Did she get her results? Her solutions? Yes. And of course, she had gone through so much stuff. She had the same recurring problem day in, day out for 12 years. Imagine having a life issue. Imagine having, I don't know how long you've carried that problem. I don't know how long you've carried that circumstance, year in, year out, day in, day out. It's a constant reminder of your inability to have peace, your inability to enjoy life. I remember the first 10 years into childbearing, well, literally, I remember when I started having kids and I had the first boy, and it was the experience was, and then 10 days to his first birthday, I lose him. And then I have my second, and then the process is almost unbearable. And then I have to struggle with different doctor's reports. Then I have a third, and then the process is unbearable. And then 6 months later, I lose him. And then I have the fourth. And then she comes, and then she has so many issues, but she stays. And then I have the fifth. And then it's another battle. But he stays. So I have three kids. Year in, year out. I learned how to fight. I learned how to trust God. I am still learning how to fight. I am still learning how to trust God. Now imagine a woman who was bleeding for 12 years. 12 years. Day in, day out. Women, we know what it feels like just bleeding for 5 months. But this woman bled for 12 years non-stop, and she had finished all her resources. What is that life issue that has drained all your financial resources? What is that life issue that has drained away all your mental strength, that has drained away every last bit of emotional strength that you have? Do you realize that the answer to the end of this problem is with you? What actions are you going to take? And this woman had gone through everything. She had gone through 12 years of constant bleeding, you know, and she could find no cure. She had spent everything. She had spent everything, every single thing she had. She had gone from doctor to doctor, physician to physician. I'm sure she had tried alternative medicines. I'm sure she had tried the latest recipe, the latest health stuff she had seen on social media. Whatever it is that was available at her fingertips, she had tried them. She had tried them. But nothing was working. Nothing was making sense. And then finally, she came to Jesus. But let's look at how she came to Jesus. She came in the midst of the crowd. There was a huge crowd around Jesus. And I look at my life today, and I look at our days today. I look at what's happening today. And I see that everybody's in church. Everybody comes to church. Everybody says they lift up holy hands. Everybody says they're worshiping, they're singing the songs, they're praying the prayers. There's a crowd around Jesus right now. Even now, there's a crowd around Jesus, even now. Even now, people have gone to church. There's a crowd around Jesus. There's a crowd around Jesus. There's a crowd around Jesus. But this woman said in her heart, she understood what the prophet had said, and she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, and the scripture says that healing in his wings. And so if you look at the garments of Jesus on his tallith, there's those hems, those little things that are there. And she said, if I can just touch, we know what a hem is. The hem is the tip. And she said, if I can just touch the hem, I don't need to push him. I don't need to hug him. I don't need to see the man of God after service. I don't need to sow a seed. I don't need to holler and dance and jump. I don't need to roll over the floor on the floor. I don't need to give it. You know, she just said, if I can just touch. But you see, her actions were based on the understanding of the Word of God. Her actions were based on the strength of the Word of God. Her actions were based on her faith in the potency and the character of who God is and what His Word stands for. This woman obviously understood that God honors it. And so, yeah, she came to Jesus because nothing else was making sense. Nothing else was working. The doctors had completely drained her, you know, and the Bible says that wherever he went, into the villages, the towns, the countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloth, of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. You see, so it turns out that there's a lot of significance to this act of touching the edge of Jesus's cloth, and this woman understood it, because Jews in the first century wore two robes in their everyday dress. One was an undergarment called a haluk, which was all usually made of linen, and over that was worn a mantle or a tallit that was heavier, and it was made of wool. The tallit was worn in public as a protection from the sun and even from the rain. See, from the rain, it was a, you know, form of protection. It was made of wool. And for some strange reason, if they were caught outdoors at night, then they would wrap themselves up in it like a blanket. So it was a rectangular. It was rectangular, and on the four corners were sewn fringes or tassels. Okay, and all this was done according to scriptures, because the Bible says in Numbers 15, 37 to 40, says the Lord says, Moses, speak to the Israelites and tell them to make fringes on the corners of their garment throughout the generations, and to put a blue cord on the fringe at each corner. You have the fringe so that when you see it, you will remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them. So when this woman that had been plagued for 12 years, when she looked at Jesus that was properly dressed according to custom, culture, and kingdom, you know, she just said, if I touch,
the fringes, the hem, that teeny, teeny bit of his garment. I know therein lies my healing. It is a reminder. I remember that it was God that healed the children of Israel in the wilderness. It was God that did this. It was God that did that. There's something I keep saying on the strength of God's word. It is possible to literally live your life on the strength of God's word. Have you been able to touch Jesus? Or you are touching things around him? Have you been able to touch Jesus? Or you are touching things around him? And that's what I want us to take a look at, because Jesus was walking through the streets that day as the Son of Righteousness, and he had healing in his wings, but not everybody saw or understood or was able to tap into that healing because not everybody understood. You see, what is it that is plaguing you that has been a problem, an issue of life, an issue of blood that has literally drained life, resources, energy, mental capacity out of you? What is that thing? It is time for you to touch Jesus. Enough of you beating around the bush. There may be so many people hanging around him. Oh yes, there are a lot of people who are shouting that they are Christians. There are a lot of people who are quoting scriptures. There are a lot of people who are living up and down, who are saying they belong to this, they belong to that, they belong to one Father and the Lord, they belong to one Mother and the Lord, they belong to one body, one denomination, and everybody is thronging around Jesus. Everybody is, you know, whispering and shouting and creating a crowd and a mess around him. But how many of us are really remembering the counsel and the purpose and the word he has spoken? How many of us are holding on to the word and touching Jesus where it matters most? And this woman pressed. She pressed through the crowd. Are you pressing? Can you press through the crowd? Can you go beyond the daily church services? Can you go beyond church activities? Can you just press deeper into, through the crowd and actually touch Jesus? Can you press through the activities and whatever it is, whatever systems that the world has put in place as church, can we press through those things and actually take his word for it and trust him? Can we build our faith around his word and not around things? Can we build our faith around his promises, around the scriptures? Can we build our faith on the firm foundation and not on gimmicks? Because you see, there are a lot of gimmicks, there are a lot of shows, there are a lot of, you know, entertainment in the name of ministry and in the name of being servants of God. But God is waiting and is, you know, is crying and calling for those who by faith in his word, in his person, in his character, in his identity, will actually touch him and draw virtue out of you. And as I'm talking to you, I'm talking to myself, because there are areas of my life I need to press. There are areas in my life I need to go beyond the dictate and the doctrines. There are areas in my life I need to find his word for that situation and link it, hold on to it with my faith, by faith, and there I draw virtue. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And they thought he was mad because they said, "What are you saying? We have so many people thronging around you. You know, we have so many people coming to church. We have so many people moving around and calling on his name." But he says, "No, no, somebody touched me. Somebody drew virtue from me. Somebody had their needs met. Somebody connected with me on a deeper level. Somebody operated in faith who touched me." So it is possible to touch Jesus. It is possible to touch Jesus. It is possible to hold on to his word and get the result. It's possible. It's possible. You see, when the woman with the issue of blood touched Jesus' garment, she wasn't only hoping he would heal her. She was proclaiming and affirming that indeed he was the Messiah. He was the one who came into the world with healing in his wings. So it wasn't just about her receiving a healing miracle. It was about her attesting to the identity and the character of God. She risked a lot to dive into that crowd, but she stepped out anyway. She focused her hope and her faith on Jesus. She trusted that he could heal her. And she took a bold step of faith. And indeed, she released God's healing power that changed her life and will always refer to her. Life can be hard. Really, I know that life can be hard. There are times when the challenges we face are so daunting that they threaten to take our entire lives. It may be an addiction. It may be a disability. It may be a disease, a depression. It may even be a divorce or bankruptcy. You've tried everything. You've tried everything to turn the situation around, but it only seems to be getting worse. You need to understand that Jesus sees you. He sees your heartache. He sees your longing. He sees your despair, your suffering. But he is with you through every situation. And he has promised never to abandon us. He has promised wholeness, restoration, and freedom. Your healing may not come in an instant, like that of the woman with the issue of blood. But the beginning of your healing comes when you entrust yourself into his care. Can you press? Can you press? Sweetheart, can you press through the crowd? Sweetheart, can you hold on to God's word regardless? Sweetheart, can you stand on the strength? Can you live your life on the strength of God's word? And just in case you say, what do you mean? How can I live my life on the strength of God's word? Do you know that the entire universe and creation is functioning and rotating and moving and, you know, working simply on the strength of his word? Let there be. And there was. So I'm going to end with this today. Hold on. Be strong. Step out in faith. Take his word as it is. Don't doubt it. Don't think it. Don't know. Don't try to rationalize this. Just meditate on it. And trust his word. Trust his character. And I know, more than anything, that he will show himself strong in your life. I hope you've been encouraged. I hope you've been blessed. Please send me a message. I remember my book is still available, when love is honored, acknowledged in heaven, sacrificed. Feel free to send me a message. Feel free to reach out. Take care of your garden. Begin to uproot doubt. Begin to uproot fear. And begin to speak and plant seeds of faith, boldness. Because God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And it takes a sound mind to hold on to his word. Till I see you next week, remember, I love you. but God loves you more.